All right, let's fire this thing up. You want some good news or bad news to get things going today, Mahoney?
Dave, there's only one way to start today's show, and that would be with the bad news.
Shocker.
So I walked in today, and there was a picture laying on the counter, and I said, who in the hell is that guy?
That fine-looking gentleman with that sweet bleach blonde mullet.
Yeah, so the whole thing isn't bleach. It's just like the top and then the waterfall in the back. So like the sides are still brown hair. And then I set it down on the counter, and Audrey walked in and said, who the hell is that guy?
He's terrifying. He honestly has like a bowl cut mullet.
The it's business
not even- he does.
And the party are dyed. And the sides. I don't know what you would call the sides.
That's the pregame.
Yeah. He also has large earrings and one of those mustaches that.
A Fu Manchu.
Like it's a handlebar and then it goes up the side of the jawline. But doesn't fully connect to sideburns, which is interesting. So you see, I mean, there's a lot going on
good
there.
Night.
Turns out this guy, 56-year-old dude by the name of Joseph Allen Maldano, and he is from Oklahoma. He's a zookeeper. He runs a private petting zoo with a lot of exotic animals. He also
A private petting zoo.
A
grown sounds man runs a private petting zoo. That just sounds pervy.
Joseph Allen Maldano does. He put down 5 tigers and sold their cubs a few years ago. And, of course, a bunch of people that run animal sanctuaries, including one in Florida, criticized what he was doing and successfully sued him for 7 figures for copyright infringement. All of this is so strange.
What?
He was actually featured, this guy, on John Oliver's show. I love John Oliver's show. I think it's incredible. But they caught wind of this guy. And, again, they put him on the show because he's just so nutty. And he actually had these, like, campaign video clips that were going around.
He was running for governor?
Yeah, that went viral. And he had made a whole bunch of videos.
I ain't cut my hair. I ain't changing the way I dress. Earrings are staying. So you're going to hear some colorful over the next 11 months. And if you don't like it, you know where the stop button is. Through my years, I've tried some drugs. I ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. Hell, I've done it all. I've been to dirty stores, you name it.
Ew.
He sounds
exactly
like I expected him to.
Dirty what stores?
F stores.
Oh,
we called him. Adult
I thought he was going to. Like, why did we bleep book? Is that a bad word in Oklahoma?
Something else that ends in that same letter.
Knowledge. Ew.
I don't like no damn reading.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do like my earrings.
Going back to what I said about the woman who successfully sued him for 7 figures for copyright infringement, he tried to hire a hitman to take her out. This is back in 2017. He offered an employee $3,000 to fly to Florida and murder her. That person said no, so of course he tried to hire another hitman, who turned out to be an undercover FBI agent.
Did he go to Craigslist?
They're always an undercover FBI agent.
Good job. Like, whoever the guy who is working for the FBI pretending to be a hitman, you are doing a phenomenal job.
I would love to search right now for an undercover hitman, but I know that the FBI would come knocking on my door because it's always an undercover FBI
guy.
Should
I just search for an undercover FBI guy and in the hopes that it's a hitman pretending to be him? Maybe that's how we find him.
Is it the old double cross all the time? Yeah. Well, in this case, he was double crossed by the FBI agent, found guilty, murder for hire, falsifying wildlife records, violating the Endangered Species Act. Sentenced to 22 years in prison.
What a litany of charges that he got hit with.
Yeah, can you imagine his first day in prison? Like, he walks into the yard and he's just like,
I ain't cutting my hair. I ain't changing the way I dress. Earrings are staying. So you're going to hear some colorful over the next 11 months.
And by 11 months, I mean 22 years.
Do you think, is he going to be like the prison system Steve Irwin?
Crikey!
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
That's also the good news today.
And if you don't like it, you know where the stop button is.
I do like it.
Through my years, I've tried some drugs. I ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. Hell, I've done it all. I've been to dirty stores, you name it.
At least he's honest. He's an honest candidate.
Enjoy prison, my friend.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So this is pretty cool for a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Obviously, Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, and this guy, whose name is Cameron Reese, he's a big Kansas City Chiefs fan, has been for a long time, season ticket holder, and now he's extra excited because he gets to go to the Super Bowl.
Very nice.
And the way that happened was they run this program that's called Responsibility Has Its Rewards, and basically you agree not to drink a game so you can drive your drunk friends home.
Oh, okay.
Which I guess is actually really cool and easy if you don't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he signed up for it. It's a sweepstakes to win Super Bowl tickets. Thousands of people signed up. One fan from each Super Bowl team got picked, so two people. He recently got a text telling him he had won. He at first thought it was a scam. Turns out it was legit. Comes with two tickets to the game worth about $1,400, which is face value. They're worth way more than
that. Yeah, they're probably worth like 10 grand.
Plus free airfare, and it comes with two nights in a hotel, which is where the real value is. Cameron's giving the other ticket to his dad, who took him to his first NFL game 26 years ago.
Oh, I just got goosebumps. That is awesome. Good for him. And what a great thing that he was doing, actually. He was taking one for the team.
Yeah, like if you're always...
Well-deserved.
Yeah, my favorite part about my wife getting pregnant is that I always have a designated driver.
Perfect.
But if you got a buddy that's willing to go to every single NFL game and not drink, you're like, my man.
How do you document that, though? Yeah.
Doesn't that seem a little low, though, that one person from each team?
One person from each team. It should be, I mean, one person from each team in the NFL.
Yeah,
but then you're like, man, that's 64 tickets. That's a lot, you know.
But still, like, here's four tickets total.
Yeah. So the former CEO of Wells Fargo is fined $17.5 million over the bank's fake account scandal, if you recall that from a few years ago, resigned back in 2016, revealed that Wells Fargo employees opened millions of bogus accounts to meet unrealistic sales goals, also accepted a lifetime ban from the banking industry. I don't think it's enough. I mean, this is literally bank fraud.
Yes.
And he should go to jail for it.
Yes, but the problem is...
Keep in mind, like, he got fined $17.5 million. He also got an enormous payout in a golden parachute that was worth more than $17.5 million as he's getting fired. Because that's how it works for the rest of us, right? Like, we do something that is highly
illegal,
and then you get fired. But in order to get fired, you get millions of dollars on the way out the door.
You steal $500 from somebody on the street that's a felony, and you're going to go to prison for... Who knows how long.
Tens of millions of dollars in bonuses. It's fine.
No, you steal billions of dollars, which is what this equated to. You steal billions of dollars, and you get what? It's like giving away a quarter.
Yep.
You know, for some of these people. It's just unbelievable. We really need some, like, serious justice reform in this country. It's, like, disgusting.
They'll throw somebody in jail for years.
Having, like,
for
a dime stack on them. Yeah,
for,
like,
having weed on them.
It's insane.
But this guy who's bilking people, just lying to hit bonuses, so that way they can line their pockets every single quarter by falsifying records. And also opening, that happened to me when I had an account over at Bank of America. They opened, like, three accounts for me that I didn't want. It was the same thing. I mean, this is,
and then it's a hassle to close them, or then they start getting fees, and then it's just a way to siphon money off of you, as if you don't have enough money already.
Cool. I can siphon my money off on my own.
Thank you very much. Let us do that with Keno.
So, federal prosecutors are investigating the National Enquirer and how it got the nude photos of Jeff Bezos. Of course, this whole thing is back in the news because the whole thing with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia and whether or not he hacked these photos. Because originally, we all thought that it was the brother of Lauren Sanchez,
who's a dirtbag in and of himself.
He's definitely a dirtbag, and he definitely had something to do with it. But could the photos have originated from this crown prince instead? It's entirely possible, because according to this hack that happened through that WhatsApp message that they were sharing, they're saying that this happened months before those nude photos all of a sudden popped up. And it also didn't really fully make sense as to how the brother was able to download everything off of her phone in just a couple of minutes' time if he got access to it, right?
To me, it just felt like he got onto her phone, copied it, you know, and just, like, texted it or emailed it to himself from
her phone. And then deleted
the
sent message?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that part makes sense, but it also makes a lot of sense.
But you still have to, like, scroll through a lot, depending on that sort of thing. But with this, it makes a whole lot more sense. It's just kind of what you get.
AMI is back in the news, which is bad news for them because this has sort of gone away a little bit. Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, I don't feel bad, because if you're going to do business with a evil regime like that just murders journalists for no reason, you kind of, you know, this is...
you expect it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't expect anything great happening after.
Yeah, I don't feel bad. You know, when the only thing that you care about is money, bad things happen.
Cyber criminals are using a fake Citibank website to steal debit card and social security numbers. So heads up for you. That's the latest scam by cyber criminals. They have found hiding behind a Citibank website that looks very legit in order to access consumers' bank accounts in an email scam claiming to be the American Bank, including a link that appears to be authentic looking. It's from the update-city.com is the domain address. Do not fall for it. It is a fake site. It's been tricking victims into entering their online banking credentials and then requesting their personal information. The site was shut down as of Wednesday this past week, and a lot of people fell for it, though, which is the problem. So they're asking for their full name, address, date of birth, last four digits of their social, debit card number, and other card information that is typically requested with the like of security codes. So just be careful out there.
Isn't it a little ridiculous, though, that we can have our entire life and our entire financial life ruined if somebody gets a hold of a number that is tied to us?
Yeah, they've got to figure out something beyond the social security
number
at this point.
Biometric stuff but a number is crazy that somebody can just go in, they can open up all these credit cards.
Well, and you think about how often you have to use and give out your social security number.
For everything.
For everything.
For everything.
Yeah.
You go to the doctor's office.
It used to be my lunch code.
Right.
Really?
In school. Yep. Yes, it was our lunch code. How insane is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
all throughout high school.
We need a better system.
And finally, Tesla has just passed Volkswagen to become the second most valuable car manufacturer in the world. Toyota is still number one, as you'd expect, because, you know, Toyotas are literally everywhere. But Tesla has overtaken Volkswagen and become the second most valuable car. We were talking about how Tesla is now more valuable than GM and Ford combined, which is pretty nuts. But on Wednesday, the company's market capitalization, and again, I mean, this is the market. You know, the market's obviously doing well. There's a lot of money behind Tesla right now.
It's a hell of a run that they're having right
$100 now. $100 billion for the first time, and it's still very young history. And you consider that, I mean, you think how hard it is to break into certain markets. Like,
oh, absolutely.
The liquor market. Like, think about
liquor tech.
Yeah, I mean, you think about vodka, for example. Like, what Tito's has done has been incredible because you're like, how do you even break into that market?
Make a good product.
Same thing with... But, I mean, you can make a good product and it still could go nowhere,
right?
But it's
like branding and it's gluten-free. It was like the hype of when everybody was trying to do all of their gluten-free
stuff.
Well,
it was good
and it was made in America. And it was cheap.
And they went after college kids. I mean, it was based in Austin. And so a buddy of ours went to LSU. He said that they used to go around the tailgates and give out just free samples to everyone. And then it started to catch on a little bit. But then you think about how difficult it is to break into the car industry, which is just as old and established.
Well, think about like how the car brands go, even for Toyota, like in the 70s and 80s, like Toyota was considered not like a great brand until the 90s is when Toyota really exploded because their car, these cars are lasting for forever. And then you think about like Hyundai. Hyundai and Kia had a really bad perception in the first part of their run in the early 2000s.
They were just cheap cars. They were like economy cars.
Until the mid-2000s when their quality got stepped up, and now they're considered, you know, I mean, they're considered good brands now at this point. Tesla, I think, came out of the chute because it was something different as an electric car, so it was like you knew the quality was going to be there.
I have some friends that have Teslas that love them.
Yes, I would drive a Tesla in a heartbeat.
I also have some friends that have had Teslas that hated it.
Yes, I love how they look. I prefer the infrastructure's not there yet for me. I'm not prepared to like sit and charge. I want to be able to just gas and go in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Hit the bathroom and go. But I would say Teslas overall, beautiful cars. I just don't know if this is a real value because
I don't trust Elon Musk.
I don't trust him either.
I just feel like one day he's gonna decide to shut them all off. Just because he's pissed.
Yeah, like if your car can catch a virus.
Evil genius.
Did my car get herpes from Elon?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I just bought myself a fresh-ass new 12-pack of socks, and guys, I am living the dream right now. That's almost 2 weeks' worth of new socks, and damn, do they feel good. I feel like a new man.
Message deleted.
Oh, I'm with you, my friend. Love a fresh pair of socks every single day for 2 weeks. I mean, that is just, that is heaven. There's something that I love more than anything is if I have to go on a business trip or something, I'll treat myself sometimes to a new pack of socks.
Yes, same.
So every time that I go over to my suitcase, I'm like, bam, today is going to be a good day.
Why do we do that? Do you do that too, Mahoney? I buy myself like new underwear, socks, or like even like maybe sometimes like a pajamas or something.
Every single day on that trip.
I go like for me, I buy all the same underwear. Like I have like 25 pairs of the same underwear and I've got like 30 pairs of the same socks.
Yeah.
Because like if you lose a sock, then you don't really lose a sock.
Sure,
You don't have to like go through and pair them all, and they're all like, you know, misshapen and or, you know, mismatched. Buy yourself, if you find something you like, buy a whole bunch of them. That's the way to do it.
You are really inspiring me to throw away all of my socks and start over.
It's like you're a new you.
It's a new you.
It's a new day. It's a new you.
Wow.
Treat yourself.
I think I might.
Treat yourself.
There's something to be said about having a fresh pair of socks, though. And I first really started to realize this many years ago. There was a concert that the radio station I worked for at the time put on, and Incubus was the headliner. Uh-huh. And one of the things on their rider was a fresh pack of socks for each one of the members of the band. And I'm like, why? And then they explained to me, because after the show, you know, it's hot, sweaty, you're up on stage,
and
jumping around.
You're on tour.
Yeah, you're on tour. You know what's awesome? Get cleaned up, shower, put on a brand new fresh pair of socks.
Throw away those.
Like, yeah, I'm like, what a great rider item, man.
Yes.
Yeah, it made sense.
The old ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's wasteful, but still, like, if you're on tour, you don't want no stinky ass socks on your bus.
And then that somehow made Brandon Boyd even more attractive. You're like, man, you're a good-looking guy. You can sing, and you got fresh-ass socks.
Isn't he slowly becoming Anthony Kiedis, though?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, he literally, like, I'm having trouble differentiating the two these days.
No.
If he puts on glasses, they could be the same person.
Anthony Kiedis has become Iggy Pop, and Brandon Boyd has become Anthony Kiedis.
Touche.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Please leave a message after the tone.
If you could put Kenny G playing any of his songs into a human form, it would be Mr. Jason Mahoney.
Message deleted.
I mean, I don't think I could have ever received a higher compliment because, I mean,
Kenny G. Sensual?
This is pure like sexual energy right here. I mean, coming through that sweet ass sax. That straight sax, not even the curved sax.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. I just know it's the straight sax. I also prefer bisex.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So Tinder now has a panic button that they're adding in case dates start to go wrong. And we were actually, Mahoney and I had a meeting yesterday afternoon at just like a local bar, and there was a girl that was at the meeting with us, and she had gone into the bathroom, and they had signs in the bathroom. Is this normal where, like, they say if you're having problems on your date, order an angel shot from the server, and then they know that you're...
I've heard of it, yeah. It's not in bathrooms usually, no, but that's a thing, yeah.
So there's like a code for some particular type of shot if you're in trouble, you need help from the staff or whatever.
If you feel like you've been roofied or if you're in an uncomfortable position, then right. they'll escort the person who you're with.
Or something horrible that's going on, that there's somebody there to, they'll alert the proper authorities. I love that.
But this is saying that Tinder is following Uber's lead and adding an in-app safety feature for dates that become unsafe. The dating app is adding new safety features, including a panic button that alerts safety authorities if something goes wrong during a date, which is cool. But like, if you're on a Tinder date, would you be on Tinder?
There's actually a...
Shouldn't you just call 911?
You can actually even text 911 now.
They just
implemented that not too long ago, but I think that's great because you're right. You're not going to open up your Tinder app in order to have like this whole thing, like an alert button going on, but still it's there.
It seems like, oh, this is something that should be good. And look what we're doing to help protect you. In reality, I think this is just some PR play. And what I would like to see is dating sites that actually have background checks, background checks. Like, that should be a thing.
Do they have assault on their record? Or do they have domestic violence?
Background check sites that you can go to, but I would like to see it all encompassed into one.
You can't get on this
unless a background site and maybe even a brief interview is done. We've got a friend who's a lawyer who's, you know, got a very high profile case that involves like, you know, somebody almost dying and other people dying because of dating sites. And it's something that's very dangerous out there. I don't worry about that. But like, if I was dating a dude or somebody who was much bigger than me, like that's a fear that certainly exists.
So Tinder has also put a new safety tool in place. You have to download something called Noonlight, but it'll enable the app's location tracking tools. So the dates information, such as the location, will have to be manually entered into a new Tinder timeline tool that can be shared with friends. But if the user feels unsafe, they'll open Noonlight and press a button that discreetly contacts the dispatchers. I agree. It's way too many steps.
It's too many steps. That's too much to remember whenever you're in the moment and you're sitting here thinking, oh, well, this person seems nice on the internet. You're not always on guard. And I think that that sets it up for for you to feel like, oh, am I going to be unsafe at all times? Which is kind of toxic and terrible. If you really think about it.
I've got some friends who would share, like, they were going on a first date. They would like the Apple Maps or the Apple Friends. You can share where your location.
Share your location. Yeah.
You could share your location. So that already kind of exists, and I think that's something that you absolutely should do, and never go on a blind date with somebody who you don't know and not tell anybody about it. Yeah. Like that's the one thing I am.
Screenshot it to your friends. This is who I'm going with. This is where we're going. Here's my location.
If you don't hear from me by this time, please call
absolutely.
No, like track my location. Find out where I am.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. And if get me.
And if you see the little dot moving just in very short increments, you know what's going on.
Yeah, leave me alone. I want to be in the back of the van. It's on purpose.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Audrey says she hates it when we do this. Mahoney seems to love it. Doesn't bother him at all that he screws up.
I just love hearing my voice.
I'm kind of with you. I'm much like... I mean, because we do this early in the morning, you know, and a lot of times these bloopers happen at 6:22 a.m. when, like, the brain is kind of half working and the mouth isn't working at all.
Well, think about this. When you're watching TV, say SportsCenter, and they have the top 10s, which one's better, the highlights or the lowlights? Like, oh, the 10 worst plays,
are always
better.
Yeah.
And since we don't have 10 best
We don't have any highlights, so it's all lowlights.
It's the... That's the blooper reel.
My grandparents had a Lexus LS400. My grandparents are very well off. That car cost more than the house that I lived in, legitimately. My grandparents are very well off. That car cost more than the house that I lived in, legitimately.
My family, so my stepdad was in the military. If I walked past a piece of like lint or like a piece of paper on the ground that I didn't pick it up, I wasn't going out that weekend. My stepdad was in the military.
All right, move
if
on.
I walked past a piece of like lint.
Potatoes are only good if you like fry them or bake them and you slather them in
or
salt,
mash them.
Bumper, or butter.
Bumper?
Bumper. If you like fry them or bake them and you slather them in
or
salt,
mash them.
Bumper.
Why am I getting so many ads for orthopedic shoes?
Were you looking for, like,
because you do a radio show with Mahoney?
Why am I getting so many ads for orthopedic shoes?
Is that a potato a vegetable?
No, it's a starch.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about, man? You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Wait, potatoes not a vegetable?
No.
Really?
Potatoes are the most popular vegetable. We eat more potatoes than any other veg.
Potato a vegetable?
No, it's a starch.
Why am I getting so many ads for orthopedic shoes?
If you like fry them or bake them and you slather them in
or mash
salt, bumper, my grandparents are very well.
Potato, a vegetable?
No, it's a starch.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
It is amazing that authorities and fire investigators have to come out and say, hey, don't do this, you dummies. It's something called the Outlet Challenge.
Good
so
Lord.
You'll take a... call it an iPhone charger and any plug, really, and you put it into the outlet, and then you leave it partially unplugged so it's exposed, but, you know, obviously there's electricity flowing through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll take something like a penny, and you'll touch the exposed prongs so it creates a large spark and, in many cases, a fire.
Okay. That seems...
challenge has been linked to
these
scorching outlets all over Massachusetts, as well as a fire at the Westford Academy, where one student is facing criminal charges. Officials are also warning of the possibility of death by electrocution. And a lot of kids are doing this for the old TikTok.
Can we stop this, like the setting yourself on fire, the eating the Tide Pods, the playing with electricity, all of this? Just, I mean, what are you dummies doing? Just because you see it on the internet.
They're just trying to go viral.
Don't try to go viral. Your job or your goal in life should not be to get 100,000 views on TikTok. That does not make you a better person.
So a Florida man went overboard from the Royal Caribbean cruise ship on Wednesday night. According to reports, the U.S. Coast Guard found his body, sadly, because he didn't make it. He dropped 177 feet from the cruise ship. It was a seven-night Eastern Caribbean excursion. Stops in Miami, San Juan, Haiti, and St. Thomas. Security footage shows the man intentionally went overboard, so probably had way too much to drink. 46-year-old guy made a clean jump from the 10-story deck and dropped 177 feet when you hit the water, 177 feet
it's
up.
Concrete.
It's like hitting concrete. The man was from Naples. His body was recovered by divers.
Yeah, that's
come
like
on,
a
that's
seven,
like, you know that.
That's like a 17-story building.
That's insane.
Yeah, don't.
Almost 18 stories.
Yeah, yep. There was a couple college kids who jumped out of their balcony. Yeah,
and they got banned from going on any cruises ever for the rest of their life, and rightfully so. But it wasn't nearly that high up. This guy, I don't know if he's trying to be funny, if he's just hammered or what. Going on cruises and getting the all-you-can-drink pass may be a bad idea for some people.
I've done it.
Not for me. Let's go. Let's rally.
Giddy up.
We capped out almost every night. I was so mad.
You capped out? What do you mean?
Yeah. Like, you have a limit. Like, it's all you can drink to a certain point. Like, they don't. It's like 15 drinks.
You capped out?
When you start from the start of the day and you're drinking pina coladas.
Oh, parties, y'all.
We're on a honeymoon.
Y'all are crazy.
Y'all party. Mm-hmm. So a grandmother, did y'all try to get other people to get you drinks on there?
We tried to just buy them. They wouldn't even let us just buy them.
Yeah.
Really?
You had a cap. And then your soft drinks count towards that on certain cruise lines.
Yes,
really?
Yes. Yeah. So it's like not just like, which screw ours were just drinks, but it's like sodas, it's coffee, it's any and all of that is your drink.
That would make me never go on a cruise again.
Yeah, I was.
Don't try to regulate my behavior.
I was talking to my one of our mutual friends, Ryan and Emily, and they went on a cruise, and nobody told them that their soft drinks counted towards their overall drinks. And when you hit that cap, you can't even buy anymore.
Nope.
It's just insane.
That's so stupid.
Yeah,
but I think
I'm on vacation. Leave me alone. I'm going to drink all day. That's what I do. I'm on vacation.
If I would have known that those pina coladas weren't going to be that strong, I would have just asked for a double, or
right?
Maybe just not even the pina coladas.
So a 65-year-old woman and her 19-year-old granddaughter were arrested at a San Diego border crossing when authorities say they were trying to sneak 200 pounds of meth into the country.
Oh.
Whoops. They were driving a 2006 Dodge Durango, which screams methamphetamine. The BPT canine team was roving the vehicle lanes when the canine alerted to the passengers. Or the vehicle's passenger side door, so the car was selected for further inspection.
Mm-hmm.
They extracted and seized 299 packages of meth weighing 219 pounds from the vehicle's roof, doors, and quarter panels. So, like, they had this, like, sealed in the car. Street value, $416,000.
Doesn't that seem kind of low, though, for...
For meth?
Like, 200 pounds of meth? I don't know. Maybe I'm, like, I don't know what that boils down to, a pound per meth. I don't have a calculator out right now, but it just seems...
Oh, I thought you meant literally boiling, because don't you boil it?
I guess.
I don't know. I mean,
don't
works.
You call...
That's $2,000 a pound, right?
That still seems low, right?
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people, there's some people out there who call their grandma, like, Meemaw. Would this be Methmaw?
Methymaw? Methymaw?
Methymaw.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Do you have a meemaw? Or a peepaw?
Pawpaw.
A peepaw.
Pawpaw. Got a pawpaw.
Oh.
I'm going to make my dad's be peepaw.
What?
I think that's funny.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
What was your ultimate hiding spot? Maybe when you were a kid, maybe even now as an adult. I mean, Mahoney, you said that... Yeah, you know some people that will hide stuff when they just go out of town for the weekend.
Yeah.
Like they'll just, you know, get stuff all burrowed away just in case something bad were to happen.
Like laptop computers, jewelry, guns.
Sure, yeah.
You know, for me, like I've got my, like, you know, like all of our work stuff we have. I have several hard drives of our work stuff.
Yes, hot commodity.
Well, I don't want somebody stealing it thinking that it's like it has something important on it. But if we were to lose, you know, a backup of all of our stuff, that would be devastating to us because
it's
years worth of work.
Yeah. So go into Facebook here at Dave Mahoney if you want to shoot one over. You can also text us 73100. Desiree said, not as a kid, but when I turned 18, I moved out and I rented a 4-bedroom house with 3 other people. 2 of them were guys. So I used to hide my money and weed inside of my tampon box. They never looked there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely have done that, hiding the weed in the tampon box.
Yeah.
But also, how
much... a ton of those dryer sheets.
I feel like I've been so lucky that I've never had roommates who, like, stole from me. You know? Like, I couldn't imagine having to, like, think about having to, like... You know, that's where you live.
Not even food?
No,
took
food's different, though.
Food and toilet paper.
Food for a college kid, that is money.
No, for sure. And toilet paper, too. I mean, I used to get mad, but it's not like they're actually stealing something from you.
True.
They just were too lazy to go get TP on their own.
Yeah.
Morgan said, I used to hide money in my books. It was the one place I knew that my brothers would never look. Conveniently, I also rarely remembered which book I hid them in, so I moved out of my parents' house. They were boxed up and stored for a couple of years. Finally unloaded them. Found about $150.
Nice.
That's a treat.
Well, right?
Well, Christmas treat to yourself.
Dan said, inside the speaker box in my car. You ever do that? You ever had any friends that would hide stuff?
Yep.
You know, like back in the day, subs. They used to have like the subs.
Yeah.
And it was hollow inside because it's just a box, obviously, but you could fill it up with all kinds of stuff.
Like, yeah, but what happens if your speakers got stolen?
Well, your stash was going with that. But like when you were like thinking about this now, you know, when weed was not legal, driving around, like you would always like put it in like your gas tank, that area where, you know, like if you had one of the closing things so you could put it in there. But like they always look there.
Always look there.
But then you're just like smoking fumes.
Well, that's just, I mean, if they bust out
the canine, like the dog will instantly find that too. this one, Raul said, my Playboys, I hid them on an ivy covered chain link fence behind the ivy.
Which
I don't know if you guys ever experienced this. Happened to me a couple of times. Hit them outside because inside, not safe, right? Somebody was going to find him. But when it started to rain, you're like, no.
Sprinting out to go get
them. Got to get newspaper, like a newspaper bag or something.
You have to get a plastic bag, because otherwise you go out there and all the pages are just like one big soggy mess and you're like carefully trying to peel them apart and you're like, oh no.
So where you grew up, I know you were kind of, you were more woodsy area, so it wasn't quite as suburban.
Right.
But in my neighborhood, there was a pretty extensive like sewer system.
Oh no,
and we would hide stuff down in the sewers. We would go and play in the sewers.
Like, it is so not safe.
I mean, never when it was raining or anything like that, but now that I think about it, like,
you get tuberculosis or something down there, man. Like
tuberculosis. I'm worried about like just like creatures.
Like, well, we got
you're
night.
Worried about rats, yeah.
We got comfortable because you played
where he lives.
Yeah.
If you played street hockey, your puck, you know, inevitably would go down into the sewer, so you had to like use the hockey stick as like a little fulcrum and lever and get open. Then you would jump down there, and you're like, oh, it's not so scary down here. And then we start like exploring down in these sewers.
Did the Ninja Turtles, were they the ones who...
There were no Ninja Turtles.
Did you see Splinter down there?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So did you have a favorite hiding spot when you were a kid? And if so, what did you hide there and was it ever discovered? Because if you had a favorite hiding spot and it was in fact discovered, it could be devastating. This one, speaking of devastating... I was about 14 years old, and I had a box full of condoms. My mom found it one day, asked me about it. I blamed it on my dad. They fought about it for 3 months straight. I never said a word.
Oh, man.
You suck.
That is...
You suck.
Wow.
But at least, I mean, did the dad not even think, like, hey, this might be our kid?
Well, of course he did, but I mean, if the mom's not buying it, then what do you do?
Yeah,
you know? And if the kid's sitting
here
with
you know you're not... You didn't do it. You know it's the kid.
Yeah.
And he's just,
man.
That is cold-blooded, man.
Caused a divorce. Jeez.
I know. It would have been your fault.
He's trying to get 2 Christmases. Son of a gun.
First car in the early 90s was an 82 Chevette with an 8-track player.
Hell yeah.
Didn't know what 8-tracks were, but using index card to cover sharp parts inside of it was perfect to hide weed. Cops searched my car and never found it. They thought the dog was alerting to the ashtray. Gotcha.
So, speaking of hiding weed, the greatest place.
Oh, wait. So, one follow-up on that. He hid the condoms in his parents' room. That's why.
Like, the dad wouldn't be that stupid to keep, like, why would you keep a box of condoms in your parents' room or in your own room?
It sounds like he was trying to set up something.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing, man?
Sounds like a setup.
Speaking of hiding weed, the best place My buddy used to hide his in his original NES. He would put it in the, you know, because you could flip it open and that sort of thing. And parents would never, ever go in and look at that thing. So he always had like a dime bag stuck into his old NES.
That's so
pretty funny.
Interesting. Why did we hide? I think that it's so weird that we just thought of all of these really awesome hiding spots. And we took the time to do all of that, but never like homework. Or like never like anything else that really mattered. Like we were never like sought out a hobby.
I don't know. I feel like these are necessary prison skills though, you know? It's like
tons of street smarts.
Yeah, right.
Nah, the prison skills, we know where that hiding place is.
It's always the bud.
Yeah. Always.
Jeez. Always the bus.
Always.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Yeah, had we done our homework, we would be productive members of society in the meantime.
Instead, we're just figuring out how much stuff we can hide in our butt.
So, you know, choices.
Waiting to get arrested.
Stay in school, kids. Stay in school.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
There's something so personal about your hiding spot that you had when you were a kid, like where your stuff went, that was your most valuable things at the time. Maybe, you know, in hindsight, it wasn't really that valuable, but if you had some jewelry that was even crappy jewelry and you put it there every night because that's where you knew it was going to be, and it was in there with some other things, maybe a note from the girl that you like so much, you know, there was just a couple of very precious things that you kept in this spot. Where was that hiding spot? What did you keep there, and was it ever discovered? This one, Marcella said, when I was in elementary school, I had a mini locker with those cheap diary locks and keys.
Oh, yeah.
My parents would give my brother and I good money for weekly allowance and good report cards, so I used to hide my money in that locker and lock it away, pretending it was a bank vault. In reality, you could have easily used a toothpick probably to pop open the lock and rob me blind of all of my money and my Lisa Frank jewelry that was in there, but I thought it was secure.
My sister used to hide money, and I would always find it, and she's so much younger than me. I just forgot about that until just now.
And you would just take it?
I would take it.
Oh, cold-blooded.
It would always be like a dollar or something.
That could have bought her some, you know, Starburst.
She was
Starburst.
Like five. No.
Taking candy from a baby.
Yeah. Speaking of candy, I mean, did you ever have, like, you know, you open up your treasure box with all of your stuff in it, so you have the note, you have the jewelry, and then you also have, like, some leftover candy from Halloween.
Halloween candy. Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Ted said it was a shoebox next to my dirty clothes. No one ever looked in there. Carissa said, I didn't really have any valuables, but once I got my first job, I used to keep my tip money in an envelope in my sock drawer. I learned that trick from my dad, who also had an envelope in his sock drawer when I was growing up.
That was the I'm leaving the family fund.
I'm moved to the Midwest to start over.
Get a pack of cigarettes. I'll be back later.
I'll be right back.
Never to be seen.
When you were, like, because it's a progression, though, when you are young and you are hiding items, mm-hmm. because I feel like you start by, like, you have, like, a toy box, or at least I had a toy box, and it always would, like, try to, like, hide it at the bottom of the toy box mm-hmm. at first, and that would get discovered. Then you go to, like, your closet, and, of course, your mom finds it in your closet, whatever it may be, and then you move to the worst place of all time, under the mattress. If you're hiding something under a mattress.
First place that everyone looks is under the mattress. How about this, though? Nick said, I put anything and everything inside the box spring of my bed. My parents and brothers didn't know there was a hole, so it was the perfect hiding spot.
Wow. Did you guys ever hide food?
Just candy. Just like, what are you, like, fried chicken? You got six pieces of fried chicken? You got
a whole rotisserie chicken in there?
No, like potato chips. Like, we weren't allowed to eat, like, anything, like, past a certain time. So I'd always, like, roll up a bag of potato chips and put it underneath my bed. Talk on the phone late night, too. Had a little phone next to me. So, like, my boyfriend at the time would always just hear, like, me crunching on potato chips at, like, midnight. That was weird.
That is so funny, man. It's funny how it progresses over time. I mean, it's like it's a bunch of little trinkets that aren't worth anything and maybe some coins. And then as you get older, it's some dollar bills from your first job. And then it ends up being just weed and vibrators.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Act like you still don't have a hiding spot for that right now.
Or a weed vibrator.
Yeah.
Doubles as a bong. That's what I use.
Audrey seems intrigued.
Kind of.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm fairly certain I'm allergic to candy. Every time I eat it, the top of my mouth is super itchy.
Message deleted.
Probably.
Stop eating candy.
Or specific kinds of candy that do that to you.
Yeah. Is there anything worse than when you burn your mouth so bad that like the skin starts coming off the roof of your mouth?
The worst.
And your tongue too. Like if you burn your tongue, just ugh.
Why would you do that to us? And then you just like, you sit there for like days and you're like pushing the skin around.
You're like
your
messing
tongue.
With your.
Just trying to get it to come off.
Yeah. Every time I eat Captain Crunch, I just go too hard eating Captain Crunch and I just tear up the roof.
Why is it that we don't have the self-control to just calmly eat Captain Crunch?
Right?
Like when we get after Captain Crunch, we know what's happening. It just tears our mouth to shreds. Like, how did Captain Crunch even become a popular cereal?
Who approved that?
Right? Like, shouldn't the FDA have stepped in and protected us from ourselves?
So good.
If we want to torture somebody, make them a pizza with Captain Crunch as a topping.
Oh.
Like, piping hot.
Piping
with
hot, and you have to eat it. Like, forget waterboarding.
That.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So any of you find yourselves making jokes in a haste just to say something, only to realize that it wasn't really the best time to make a joke? My girlfriend hates this, but I do it all the time. I don't know if it's an anxiety thing, but I will literally make a bad joke in the literal worst situations.
Message deleted.
All the time.
It depends. You know, I mean, like, if you're, you know, when somebody you care about is upset, but you're really, you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I found that those are bad times to do it, even though you kind of feel compelled to say something.
I have an example of when that happened. So we had this dog, Gootsy.
Uh-huh.
Goots.
He was a real a-hole. He died. Oh. And so we had this burial ceremony. And one of my brothers made a joke while we're all standing around, like, burying this dog, which I don't know why this was like a family activity, but it was. And so we're burying the dog, and my brother makes a joke, and it's hilarious. But, you know, my parents, you know, had this dog forever, and, like, they were pretty upset about it. So we were laughing hysterically, but pretending that we were crying.
Oh, no.
Because we didn't want to be insensitive because we were burying this a-hole dog. I don't even remember what the joke was. It was just a totally inappropriate time to say it.
Are you doing it right now?
I'm getting a little teary-eyed just from laughing so hard. Screw you, Gootsy.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Dog bit my mom. He's eating some chicken bones out of the trash and tried to stop him.
What a clown.
Bit the hell out of him.
Oh, Gootsy.
Cool. An old collie. Old matty hair and just grumpy. Always trying to bite everyone. Screw you, man. I'm glad you did.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
There is a lot going on in this story. A deputy in Georgetown County was forced to use his taser on his own canine on Wednesday afternoon. According to the Georgetown County Sheriff's Office, a deputy responded to the scene of a reported burglary about 4 p.m. A cow near the scene distracted the dog, which led to the dog biting the cow.
Oh.
To de-escalate the situation, the deputy tased the dog.
What?
The cow was then spooked and kicked the deputy.
This seems like the worst Rube Goldberg ever.
Right? Like, everything went wrong. So they go out there to find somebody who's burglaring the place, mm-hmm. brings the canine. Canine gets distracted, runs over, bites the cow. Guy goes over, has to tase his own canine unit, which stinks. And then that spooks the cow, which then promptly kicks the deputy, and the burglar gets away.
That canine get, like, taken off duty, you think?
I mean, a stern talking to, at
administrative
least.
Leave.
Yeah.
Administrative leash. No?
Very much yes.
A full yes from you?
Yes.
All right.
Very much so.
So would you guys do this? If you found a box outside of a credit union that had $27,000 in cash, would you pick it up and bring it inside?
What kind of box are we talking about?
It's called an ATM cassette, and basically it's the sort of thing
I've seen
armored trucks bring around.
Probably.
Yeah, because that means that it's being watched. It's not like a shoebox or like a trash bag full of cash.
Yeah, if it was like a Nike box sitting there or a box, like an Apple box or something like that. But like those things are essentially, like you said, cartridges.
Yeah.
That's I'm taking inside.
Well, that's what this guy did. So a guy named George Condash said he was leaving the Westland Federal Credit Union, and he spotted the plastic box in the roadway, and he said, well, I don't want to hit this. And so he kind of like swerved out of the way, but then he's like, I don't want anyone else to hit this either, which is nice. And so he stopped and he picked it up, and then he's like, what the heck is this? Opened it, contained $27,000, at which point he promptly walked into the bank and said, I think somebody dropped this. It was supposed to contain about $43,000 in cash is what it could have had if it was full, but it only had $27,000. Or did he just say it only had $27,000? He did say that they did give him a reward for his honesty.
Which is nice.
But if that reward was anything less than $27,000, you still came up on the short end. Do you get arrested for that? You get arrested for that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Why? I mean, it's finders keepers, right?
You would think
not
so.
Not at that point.
I mean, I don't
if it's
know.
In the cassette, I believe it's still the credit union's property. So,
if you can track down who owns it, I think you've got an option.
What if you just stand outside for like 3 minutes and go, hey! 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 Nope. Okay.
Yeah, I think then you're cool. If you do that, you have to.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's
fine.
You know, when it comes to finding large amounts of money like that, like if it was just in a paper bag, like
I'm
keeping that. Or I'm waiting to see if somebody like if something pops up around town, you know, and that sort of thing. Like I'm not gonna go spend it right away, but I'm gonna sit on it for a hot minute.
You wouldn't be worried that you get murdered for that though?
How are you gonna find me? If it like I mean if it's
I've already ran.
If it's not like the banks or the cops where they're going to the you know, they're able to like look at the like the traffic lights and you know the surveillance and stuff like that.
There's cameras everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, but if it's just some dumb drug dealer, yeah.
I feel like if I were to return it, I would just get the reward of just something like stupid.
Yeah, they give you like a Chick-fil-A gift card or something.
Yeah,
like,
not even something that nice.
We're gonna wipe away your overdraft fees.
Well, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. So, should men be allowed to donate sperm after they're dead?
No.
How does that happen?
Weird.
Some people say that it is ethically permissible. Some doctors seeking to tackle the shortage of living donors in the United Kingdom, a study published by the Journal of Medical Ethics, proposed that men should be able to register their desire to donate after death for use by strangers.
No. I see. I don't like the idea for strangers. I like the idea for, like, if I were to die unexpectedly and we were trying to have a kid, but we hadn't yet, and, you know, like, my wife wanted to have a kid with me still for whatever reason, even though she's probably better off now that I'm dead. We'll just say that happened. Then I think that's okay in that particular
instance. But that's what sperm banks are for.
Well, but let's say we didn't go because I'm not expecting to die.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Not right now.
Yeah,
not
right
immediately.
Now. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The diabetes and the heart attack's coming.
Yeah. Did they just, like, stick a needle and they'll suck it out? Like, how does that work?
I don't want to know.
Do they put me
in a room?
Do I still get to watch Pornhub?
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Do those places provide internet access now?
What, heaven?
Still the magazines and videos?
Does the afterlife provide Wi-Fi?
They definitely have, like, full-on, like, just... like computers now.
You think so?
Oh, for sure.
No way. Ew, I'm not touching that mouse.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking into a room and they're like, here's a magazine? Like,
that's how they did in the old days,
Dave. What are you supposed to do with this,
man? I'm not touching that computer ever.
You
that's
like flip it so
foul.
It's like a picture book.
Can you imagine being the chick in there who has to go or the guy who goes in there and has to clean up after?
No.
Because it's probably...
I mean, what are you talking about? It's not that dramatic.
Maybe.
No, it's not.
It's not like going on Splash
Maybe House. Somebody. Maybe it's been a while for somebody.
You've been watching too many movies.
A fire hose.
A Rambo? Okay.
This kind of gives a new definition to deadbeat dad, though, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
The David Mahoney Morning Show presents The Internet is Awesome.
Our favorite audio clips from this past week. Thank you once again to the internet gods for blessing us with wonderful audio. Like, for example, a furry saving a woman. There was some big fight that happened outside of a bar. There was also a furry convention that was going on at the same time. And they see this altercation with this guy attacking this woman. And the furries whoop this dude and then physically sat on him until the cop showed up. If you're not familiar with what furries are, those are people that like dressing up in the giant kind of like mascot-esque costumes. And many times there's a bit of a little kink that goes along
sometimes,
with it.
Sometimes, yeah. But not all of them.
Not all the time. Some people just like dressing up. But most of them like to, you know, get a little freaky while dressed up like a giant hamster, whatever.
But you know what? If they're out there fighting crime like a T-Rex or a hamster whooping ass.
You deserve to get some after that.
I'm all for it.
Uh-huh.
You're the heroes we didn't know we needed.
Hey, no, Joe, Joe, no, Joe, stop.
I told you.
She's safe now.
Put that out and let's go.
Joe, Joe, Joe.
What the I like that one guy's voice is obviously kind of muffled because he's in a furry costume. Like, stop, stop it, no, no.
If that was the, because the T-Rex or the dinosaur, who was the guy who was dressed up like a dinosaur, was throwing bombs.
Yeah, you're like, oh, those arms aren't so short after all. Uh-huh.
Do you think it was a long neck?
You mean like a brontosaurus?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I don't think it was a brontosaurus.
That'd be hilarious.
So Planters is killing off Mr. Peanut, and they released this commercial of him coming to his demise before the Super Bowl. I guess some precursor to what they're going to be doing at the Super Bowl.
Do you really think they're going to kill him off?
Well, I mean, he's already dead, right?
Yeah, but do you think this is just some marketing ploy?
I mean, have you never seen a soap opera ever, Dave?
No, have you?
Yeah, they always come back to life.
Yes. Especially if Wesley Snipes is in the commercial, I think.
Was Wesley Snipes in this commercial?
Wesley Snipes was in the car with Mr. Peanut. He's one of the men hanging off the tree branch at the
end. I've only heard this commercial. I haven't seen it. That makes a lot more sense now.
I just died in your arms tonight.
Oh, look out! Abandon my door! We're too heavy. Oh.
Matt, let go.
No, you let go.
Hey, Mr. Peanut, no, you don't. Don't do it, Mr. Peanut. No!
No!
Maybe he'll be all right. Maybe not.
That is definitely Wesley Snipes, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
There it is, yep.
And if you, too, have wondering what you've wondered what Wesley Snipes has been up to, you can get Wesley Snipes on Cameo. He's not available right now, but he is on there often. It's usually $500 to get a personalized message from the one and only.
$500.
Always bet on black, Mr. Blade.
He needs the money. Just pay your taxes on it, Wes.
Nah, he's doing all right.
Is he?
I mean, he's kind of become like a Nick Cage in a sense, like where he'll do.
How dare you?
I mean, he's.
He'll do anything at any time.
I mean, he's.
You've got to love being Nicolas Cage's agent, right? Because you're like, hey, man, we got this movie. I'll take it.
You're playing a spoon.
I need
it.
Yeah, fine. I love spoons. I always love spoons.
I want to see a Wesley Snipes and Nicolas Cage buddy cop movie.
Oh, yes.
So good.
So good.
So speaking of Super Bowl commercials, there is Sam Elliott walking into a saloon dressed up like Sam Elliott dresses up, which is like a cowboy. Mm-hmm. And he's got that with Sam Elliott voice. Mm-hmm. But he's reciting the lyrics to Old Town Road from Lil Nas X.
Mm-hmm.
To the
classic.
Bartender, and it's a thing of beauty.
I got the horses in the back. Horse tack is attached. Hat is matte black. I got the boots that's black to match. Riding on a horse, you can whip your Porsche off. I've been in the valley. You ain't been up off that porch now. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
You can't tell me that's not the diabetes, man.
It's not Wilford Brimley.
Just like
it's
him.
Not.
It's him. They're the same
not,
person.
It is not. No.
Sam I can Elliot, close my eyes and still.
Sam Elliott weighs half of what Wilford Brimley does
and
at best.
He's a foot taller.
Yes.
And his mustache, I would dare say, manlier.
Oh, it is much more manly.
Well, that's devastating to know that that's the same voice as the
it's
diabetes.
Not
guy.
The
it's not the same.
Voice.
It's not even close.
It's the same voice.
No, he's a Wilford Brimley more like diabetes.
He sounds like a
Walker. He's a Walker. He's got the jowls.
Sam Elliott is
just like that guy. So it's just
your current.
Tell me nothing about diabetes.
Dodge trucks.
That's accurate. That's accurate.
So this is actually a piece of audio Rams. That we, it is the Dodge Ram.
The Dodge Ram.
Man.
Ram. I think they just call it
Ram.
Ram. I'm Sam Elliott. Get you a Dodge Ram or just a Ram. this is a piece of audio that we discovered earlier today. It's a guy that got locked up for going on the internet and trying to hire a hitman.
Gosh.
And that was after he had paid an employee $3,000 to fly to Florida and murder somebody. And then that person said, you know, I'm going to pass. I mean, don't get me wrong. The $3,000 sure is attractive. Uh-huh. But then he went on the internet, hired a hitman, turns out undercover cop. Always an undercover cop.
Then he tried to run for governor of Oklahoma.
Actually, this is before, but he was trying to run for governor of Oklahoma. And that's what this is. This is actually one of his real campaign videos. Talking, making his case for, yeah, I've done
how
some weird stuff,
man,
but I should still be your governor.
How is this guy not governor of Oklahoma right now? That's what I want to
right?
know.
Like, in the current political climate, you'd think this would work.
I ain't cutting my hair. I ain't changing the way I dress. The earrings are staying. So you're going to hear some colorful over the next 11 months. And if you don't like it, you know where the stop button is. Through my years, I've tried some drugs. I ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. Hell, I've done it all. I've been to dirty stores, you name it.
Oh, boy.
I ain't cutting my hair. I like this
blonde
style.
Mullet. Yeah.
I've done drugs before. I'm probably on drugs right now.
You don't say.
By God.
And finally, the last piece of audio to share with you today is this gem from Wendy Williams. She was doing her stupid show talking about some stupid thing, and she definitely farted on live TV.
You can't just slap people on the booty. Of course, he probably knows it's not right from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, but you can't even do that locker room thing. That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're lucky you only got battery. What if he filed for sexual assault?
She was stunned that she was just ripping it on air.
I mean, you're lucky you only got battery. What if he filed for sexual assault?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, of course, the talk of the town over the past couple days has been the fact that the Las Vegas Raiders are now officially a thing. Mm-hmm. Merchandise going to be on sale around the time of the draft. And speaking of the draft coming to town, they are really jacking up the prices of rooms already. So if you have any friends that have been talking about, you know, coming to town, it's at the end of April, of course, the 23rd through the 25th. Room rates during the draft are up an average of 89% across 40 properties on or near the Strip as compared to the week before, according to Hotels.com. Biggest increase, 220% at Caesars Palace. The cost of a room jumps from $217 per night April 16th through the 19th to $712 per night April 23rd through the 26th.
Whoa.
So the lot of different hotels see the prices skyrocketing up. So if you have any friends that want to get in for into town and there's going to be they're estimating about 500,000 people that come in for it, which I think might be a kind of on the low end.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's normally like 400,000 people that
but
will
Las
come.
Las Vegas is a different animal, and you don't know
everyone
exactly.
wants to come to Las Vegas.
First time it's going to be here, plus the, you know, all the rigmarole that is going to be surrounding that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money a night, though.
So I $712.
That's Airbnb.
I'm just going to go camp somewhere and rent my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be popping here in Las Vegas for sure, but it's going to cost people that are coming in from out of town a lot of money to stay here. So again, if you have any friends that want to get in, if you wait any longer, it's definitely not going to get cheaper mm-hmm. for you. Another big thing in NFL news coming to Las Vegas is that the MGM is now the official gaming partner of the Raiders. And so one of the things that means is that Mandalay Bay is going to be the official pregame and postgame venue for the Raiders, which is kind of cool because, like, if you're partying at Mandalay Bay and let's say you go to the sports book and you play some bets, and then they're going to have that walkway over the bridge shut down to traffic. So it's basically just going to be like a huge pedestrian crossing bridge to get right over to the stadium.
The one that, like, basically Russell right there. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Are they building another one?
No. The other one on the one that comes up to like the backside in between Luxor and Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you were going to like the hotel or what's it called now, Delano. If like that one right there, that bridge goes right over to the where the Raiders Stadium is, and so everyone's just going to walk right over to that.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah. So I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, everything that the MGM is doing. If you're somebody that actively plays a lot at MGM properties, I guess they're going to have like a VIP drop off.
Oh, wow.
I imagine that you have to have like one of like the super really high end cards.
Not even like the diamond level or whatever it is.
The noir or whatever it is. Yeah.
I'm curious though.
But they're going to have like a whole bunch of, they're going to have like a VIP entry and drop off zone. And they say that they have the close proximity with a bunch of their properties. And so they said it made a whole bunch of sense for them to be the official gaming partner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
So over in Europe and especially in the UK, you can place bets at venues. We're not going to be able to do that yet, right?
Not yet.
I mean, via the app. But, I mean, if you have the app, yeah, you can do whatever via your app. But like,
yeah, so,
there's
so,
not going to be a book at the,
right.
stadium,
at the stadium,
right?
Not yet. So we're actually really close to that. There's a couple of states that are legalizing sports betting across the country, and Kentucky actually is the latest one that was talking about actually allowing there to be sports betting at a couple of venues.
I mean, if you could do it at a racetrack, why can't you do it at a basketball stadium?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're talking about in Kentucky, because Kentucky doesn't have professional sports, right?
No. I mean, the only things that I can think of would be, I mean, obviously, like, the NCAA, but, like,
there's
not
going to
happen.
That's a long way off.
Or horse racing. That's massive at, like, the Derby.
It's already at the Derby, right? I mean, of course, it's at the racetrack.
Yeah. So yes.
I don't know what they were talking about there, but the fact that any states are now considering that is significant. But like you said, I mean, it's all just app-based. Yeah. I mean, when the NFL was first talking about coming to town, they were talking about trying to geofence the stadium out so you couldn't be placing wagers while you're in there. It's like, shut up. Like, so you're just going to make me inconvenience me by walking across the street to place a wager?
Yeah. Right.
Like in New York, where the Meadowlands Stadium is in New Jersey, obviously sports gambling is legal there as well. Mm-hmm. It's literally right across the parking lot. So, I mean, like, it's already that close. We're knocking on the door of having the actual betting in the venues.
That would be so nice.
But, I mean, it's all app-based here anyhow. Yeah. So, I mean, it's decent. It's not as good as in New Jersey. But if you want to bet on sports, sure.
So, do you think that they'll have it just like kind of like how the ATMs are, because back home on the tracks, what they do is they have it almost like set up like an ATM. You place your bet, you go through, do the thing, and you walk around with like that piece of paper. I really don't know if that's how they do it in the sports book here, but how would they even do it?
Well, I mean, they'll just have a window, right? Like a sports betting window that you walk up to. You say, hey, I want to take the second half, that, you know, the Raiders are going to score this many points in the second half, and they'll just print you your ticket with the odds on it. And then I'd imagine they'll also have like kiosks. So if you don't want to walk up to the window, you can just like punch it in, put your money in, and then print out your ticket.
Yeah, those kiosks have been around in casinos for many years. You know, like if late at night you go into and nobody's at the window because it's 2 a.m. and there's no sports actually going on.
For convenience for a lot of these stadiums, they don't have like, what are they going to do? Redo like a whole entire area in order to put a sports book in? That's what I was concerned
about. If it happens in other states, yes, they should, because they're going to make a boatload of money.
They're actually already doing that without the wagering being there. So like, for example, in New Jersey, the Devils, where the hockey team plays in New Jersey at the Prudential Center, they have like a Caesars lounge there where you can like track all of the scores that are going on around the league. So if you are sports betting, but again, we're like still one step away from there actually being
slowly
the windows
rolling
there.
It
but
out.
We're getting there. We're getting there. So the Jonas Brothers just announced that they're going to be doing a residency here in Las Vegas. Any interest?
I like the Jonas Brothers.
I'm not going to lie. I like that Sucker song.
You would.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's a fun song.
It's a fun song.
I can't name another Jonas Brothers song, but that
their
one.
Their new single is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
What's it called? Pulled up.
Something about being a man.
A man's got to do or something like that?
Yes.
But did you know that there is a fourth Jonas Brother?
Really?
A bonus Jonas.
A bonus Jonas?
Yes. He is just not in the group.
Doesn't one of them also have a third nipple?
What?
Oh, maybe.
I believe it's probably
Joe.
That means there's a total of 9 Jonas Brothers nipples. That's a lot.
Our system here has blocked us out. All we have is like one Nick Jonas song, and then we have Weezer.
My name is Jonas.
Which is a jam. That is a jam.
Oh, man. I used to love playing that on Guitar Hero. Just have your fingers just flying up and down. Okay.
That's it. We're playing it.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
In honor of the Jonas Brothers, new residency here in Las Vegas. Yes. My name is Jonas.
This is so good on Guitar Hero. My name is Jonas.
Yo!
Fast food freakouts.
If I wasn't in this car, man, I'd come in there and kick your ass.
Ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Patrick is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Patrick? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Have you ever been there in person when a fast food freakout has gone down?
I haven't actually personally witnessed one, no.
Yeah.
You're messing up, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever do see one, your one and only job as a fine, upstanding citizen of society is to instantly pull out your phone and start recording it.
Record it, absolutely.
Well, I see a lot of YouTube videos. So. Yeah,
so perfect.
But instead of World Star, please yell out David Mahoney.
We're trying to get that going, and it has not worked because it's never happened. But one day it will, I'm sure.
Someday.
Okay, John.
All right, so again, these are all real freakouts that have happened in fast food restaurants around the country. For reference, what is your favorite fast food restaurant?
I'm a Big Mac fan.
Okay, so you like McDonald's? Okay, great.
I'm a Big Mac fan, too. Again,
these are all real freakouts. You're trying to figure out what restaurant they happen in, and there are some little clues if you listen closely to the audio. I'll give you a multiple choice after I play the freakout for you. Here is number one. You're trying to get two out of the three correct in order today to win, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here's the first one.
Can I get a 10-piece traditional mile?
Can I get you anything else?
That'll be it.
Oh, you don't have to scream, sir. Sorry about that. You
could
drive around.
Hey, listen here. I ain't came for the attitude. Y'all already higher than the mother. Can I please get my damn
can I
food?
Have the $9.89, please.
Okay, just give me my food.
Can you
just give me my food?
Can I have the money, please?
Give me my.
Put that down here. You got.
Wow.
And he ran away with that.
That's that guy's the worst.
And posted it.
He ran away with the food without paying?
Yes. Because he waited for 30 minutes in the drive-thru lane.
30 minutes?
Wow. Well, okay.
I thought that was all in like 11 seconds, but if 30 minutes, I might have the same reaction too.
That's on you if you wait in a line for 30
minutes.
What
are you? Sometimes you can't get out. You can't get out.
That's my nightmare.
Oh, yeah, you're stuck in there. Oh. All right, Patrick, was that a KFC, B, a Popeyes, or C, a Zaxby's?
Wait, what's my options again?
A, KFC, B, Popeyes, C, Zaxby's.
Ooh. Sounds like maybe Popeyes.
No, I'm sorry. It was
He said flat of fish, and I was thinking McDonald's, but that was one of my options.
Yeah, no, it was, he said a 10-piece, but it was a Zaxby's. And Zaxby's, if you've ever been through one of those drive-thrus, they can take a while.
Yeah, you're not getting a 10-piece at KFC or Popeyes for $9.89.
For $9.89, yeah.
He said 10-piece, I thought I heard filet-o-fish.
See, you're all stuck in that McDonald's headspace, Patrick. You got to get past it. All right. I'll give you a hint. McDonald's is not the multiple choice in either one of the next two that are coming up. So let's just go ahead and flush McDonald's for the moment so we can focus. Okay. This is number two. This is a man upset over a leaky cup. Okay, a man upset over a leaky cup.
Look at this. This is disgusting. Look at this. This is disgusting. Suck, you motherfuckers. Oh, I'm pissed. I'm making one of their employees come out and do this. This is disgusting.
Again, somebody recording themselves and then posting this. Was this a Dunkin' Donuts, B, a Jimmy John's, or C, a Burger King?
Oof. I'm going to have to say,
Did you listen to the guy's accent? Do you want to hear it one more time? Because that may be a bit of a clue for you. Let's have a listen.
Look at this. This is disgusting. Look at this. This is disgusting. You suck. You motherfuckers. Oh, I'm pissed. I'm making one of their employees come out and do this. This is disgusting.
So Dunkin' Donuts, Jimmy John's, or Burger King?
Oh, we'll go Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes, well done.
Coffee cups always are leaky.
Yes.
Also, why isn't there, we haven't figured out the male version of a Karen yet, because this is that.
Yes.
Like, we need that, like, Chad's not, it's too bro-y. We haven't figured out the name to call dudes
Marshall.
Who do this.
Marshall.
See, but I think of Marshall Tucker Band. Marshall Tucker Band's pretty cool.
Okay, I'll think of something else.
Marshall.
Ted.
Ted Danson.
Well, yeah, that's true. Ted Danson. Ah, all right, we'll get there. We'll get there. Clark.
Clark Gable.
Kent. Oh, God.
No, Clark Kent sucks. Superman was cool. Clark
Dean.
Kent. Dean.
Yeah.
For Dean Kane.
Yes. That's a Dean.
You're a Dean. Are we such a Dean, you Dean head?
Okay.
All right, so here we go. You got one right. You got one wrong. It all comes down to the third and final one. All right,
Patrick.
So this is a couple that assaults the staff because they wouldn't accept their coupon. Let's have a listen.
I'm calling the police.
You took your phone, Adam?
Yep.
My phone! You dumb! That's my phone, and he threw.
Thank you.
No, sir.
I'm calling the police.
Go ahead.
I'm bleeding.
Get the hell out of here. Don't come in here ever again.
I'm bleeding, ma'am.
Oh boy, a lot going on there. Was that A, Firehouse Subs, B, Church's Chicken, or C, a Burger King for the win?
I feel like there's a certain kind of echo happening in that video that may.
We're gonna go with Burger King.
You win.
Yeah.
Well done, man.
I had no idea that was a Burger King, but I knew that echo.
You can tell from
the
echo.
You're not getting that echo on a church. They're
that's
not
true.
Big
that's
enough.
True.
You're not getting that in a definitely not happening in a firehouse. Yeah,
that was the Burger King's echo right there. I'm calling the police. Please, 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 please.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea. It's Pop Trash.
So Antonio Brown has turned himself into the police, as you probably have heard by now because it's all over the place. But Antonio Brown is now basically being begged by his baby mama as well as his family to get help because he has totally gone off the rails.
Cracked.
So you may have heard about this incident that happened between him and his trainer and some guy driving a truck who said that he got assaulted by Antonio Brown and his trainer. They were reportedly high at the time. And that's kind of a loose definition. Like, were they smoking weed or were they smoking crack? Like, what kind of high are we talking about here? Because there's a big difference, in my opinion. But either way, throwing rocks at a moving company truck and just totally unacceptable behavior. Guy called 911 and he got hauled in front of the judge. We have a short clip here of basically the judge greeting Antonio Brown as he arrived to court. He's wearing handcuffs while this is all going down.
Like, he was wearing a bulletproof vest, too.
Is he wearing a bulletproof vest?
No
yes,
way.
He was.
Oh, my gosh. And that's happening
careful.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, earlier. It's a high-profile case.
Yep. Ooh. So he of course, is going to post bond because he's got plenty of money at this point, which I'm sure won't last for too long. But Antonio Brown, nonetheless, in court.
Good morning, Mr. Brown.
Good morning.
Mr. Brown, you're before the court this morning on count one, burglary with battery. Count two, burglary of an unoccupied conveyance, unarmed. Count three, criminal mischief, $200 under $1,000, first offense. In light of the information that has been presented, bond on count one will be set at $100,000.
Has there been somebody who has just tanked their life so fast?
I mean, this pretty epic collapse. I mean, because you got to think at the beginning of the football season, we all thought that he was going to be playing for the Raiders, and this is
Patriots.
I mean,
could have been.
I mean,
know.
Yeah, he gets picked up after the Patriots.
And you think that Bill Belichick's going to be able to straighten him out too, even after that?
We're talking about a couple of months ago, you guys.
And
I mean, like, it's not like a couple of years ago or like 10 years after his career. Like, this is a couple of months ago.
I can't think of a athlete who was as high performing as he was. Crash it and burn it. So
first ballot Hall of Famer and just has completely torched
it. Like unintentionally. It's not like he's like going out and doing like, you know, dog fights or doing anything like that on the low and trying to get away with it. Like he is like putting this
and
parade
even Michael Vick,
on.
Yeah. Like I love Vic, you know, like as far as like as a player, like Vic was one of the most exciting guys to ever watch, but Vic was still nowhere near as good as at his position that Antonio Brown was at his.
I don't know about that.
I'm thinking Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah, no, but that was over a long period of time.
Yeah, same thing. Like Lenny Dykstra, you think about how much he's ruined his life.
Vic was never the number one quarterback in the league. Vic was good, but I mean, Brown is that guy.
But to put it on like such a show, I feel like it's all a show.
It feels like he's enjoying this.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, it's not even that like you're addicted to, like, at least Daryl Strawberry had like an addiction that he could blame it on, right?
Yeah.
Like, you were just on way too much blow. But
lot.
Like, I mean, in this case, like, what are you doing, man? Like, everything just seems so off with Antonio Brown. And it's
more concerning than, like, a drug habit. Like, if he had a drug habit, he would go.
It seems less fixable.
Like, mentally, there's something really off with this guy. Jessica Simpson is doing kind of the tour right now, talking about how much stuff she's been through in her life. So she's a 39-year-old mom of three, and she revealed that she is terrified of letting her kids see her in the state that she once was. And so she wrote this memoir, and, you know, we were talking, the other day about her and John Mayer and that tryst that they had, as hot and heavy as that was. But she also talked about how she hit rock bottom back in 2017. It was Halloween, and she said she started drinking at 7:30 that morning. And she said that she was ashamed because she was so hammered that she couldn't get her kids into their Halloween costumes that night because she was that drunk.
Why was she? Does she say why she was drinking? She was just depressed and going through.
Did she say earlier what we were talking about yesterday? It kind of started and catapulted whenever she was dating John Mayer. She's kind of putting it on him a little bit.
She's saying abuse as a child along with anxiety and pressure of fame. Oof. Yes.
I mean, she was. I mean, you think about it. When she became famous, she was a teenager.
Yeah,
you know.
Six,
I mean, it's not,
tough
it's
time.
Not
her dad's all creepy. Like, there's just a bunch of stuff there. I mean, that really seemed off. But Jessica Simpson also, if you recall, was on the Ellen Show.
Yeah.
And she was pretty hammered when she was on national TV.
Everybody thought she was pilled out.
Yeah. Let's have a listen to that.
Hey, Jessica.
Very exciting.
It's very exciting.
I'm not pregnant on your show.
Are you sure you're not pregnant? I heard that you were pregnant.
Oh gosh. No.
You're not
we
pregnant.
We got an IUD. Nothing is going to get in that uterus.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm not touching that.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah. So.
At one point, Ellen, during that interview, mouthed, help me, to the staff.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
boy.
Like it was just tanking.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, luckily she's made it through it and got to the other side. And, you know, obviously it's going to be a struggle to continue
sobriety,
to move forward. But she's recognized her demons, and that's, you know, that's the first step in, you know, recovering.
The best fictional character that has been invented in the past 5 years is, without a doubt, in my opinion, Baby Yoda.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Ooh. Name one better.
It's hard.
Right?
I haven't bought.
Have you ever fallen in love with a fictional character so quickly?
No. I have not.
Head over heels.
Nope.
Baby Yoda the best.
Maybe. Makes me want to have a Baby Yoda.
If you and your wife would get pregnant and give birth to a Baby Yoda, you'd do it today.
Today.
Isn't it scary, though, that like in 50 years it's still a kid? Then who do you pass it on to?
Yeah, he'll be fine.
That's fair. You'll figure it out. Just give him to the Mandalorian. It's fine. The reason I bring it up is because there was supposed to be another show, Obi-Wan Kenobi show on Disney Plus, and that's, I guess, been put on hold. So it kind of stinks because Ewan McGregor was going to be the star of it, and
he's great.
He's fantastic
great
as Obi-Wan. And so I was, you know, the more the merrier. I mean, after the Mandalorian, I mean, I've kind of fallen off with the Star Wars movie series just because I haven't, like, there's just been so many of them, I haven't kept up. But, like, the Mandalorian has bought me back into everything that they do, and especially if they release another series on Disney Plus, like, I'm all for it. So I'm kind of bummed that this is being put on hold right now.
But
the series hasn't been canceled.
Okay.
There's rumors of that.
They sent the staff home, which is not a
great sign. Yeah, it's being put indefinitely on hold, which might mean canceled. Might not, but there's something going on here that does not seem great.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed by that because I think if, you know, Fellini and Jon Favreau, you know, the guys who were behind The Mandalorian, were going to be involved in this or, you know, whatever Star Wars, like put those guys in charge of the Star Wars universe, much like you put Kevin Feige in charge of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and you can bring it back. You don't have to tell the Skywalker story anymore. That, you know, those 9 movies have come to an end, but there's so many more stories that you can tell in that universe that I think
just look what they did with The Mandalorian. I mean, there's a non-character.
There's no mention of
anything else that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Jedis, but that's, you know, that exists in the universe, but there's no Skywalker stuff. And I think it's the best thing that they've done since the original trilogy.
Maybe that's why, because it's so hard to top what they're currently doing with The Mandalorian. You don't
think? I think they may hand it off to Fellini or whatever his name is, and Jon Favreau to just like helm it because
I still cannot believe that Jon Favreau has become the guy that he has.
But he's the one who put but think about this too, Dave. He was the guy who directed the original Iron Man.
He's the loser to Vince Vaughn's cool guy in Swingers.
And now he's
running Hollywood.
You know what?
Like Vince Vaughn, he won't even take Vince Vaughn's calls anymore.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's up, my dudes and lady? Just quick question. When do you know when to stop going to the bar when you're trying to hit on a girl and see if it's going to be more, or she's a bartender? Like, she has to be nice. And when is that point where you're like, you know what? It's not going to happen. It's kind of like when you're at the strip club and you might get it, but you might not. Who knows? You tell me.
Message deleted.
Well, let's go to the expert here. Audrey used to be a bartender and used to work with a lot of other female bartenders. Did you or any of your female bartender cohorts ever decide to take things a bit further with a customer after you found them attractive?
Yes. One of my friends actually dated a guy that came into the Old Tin Roof, and how she went about it was she was forward. She was like, here's my number. Call me.
She's hella fine. 10, 10, 10, 10.
Because, of course, like this guy's saying, nobody ever really knows.
Well,
so you have to initiate it.
Here's the thing. If you have to question whether or not they're into you,
she's not.
They're not.
Yeah.
And if they're just being nice, that's just doing their job.
There's plenty of good-looking guys and girls that will walk into a bar that absolutely have a shot at the bartender because, of course, they do. They're good-looking and they're confident,
of course,
the person knows if they have a high-end credit card or not.
And even if you are good-looking and you walk into a bar, let the person working approach you. Don't be a douche and hassle somebody while they're at work.
If you can't tell the difference between somebody being nice to you because they have to be or because they want a good tip and actually like flirting with you, you got some self-reflection to do.
And truly, the worst part about getting flirted with or hit on while being a bartender is whenever it's somebody who is not tipping well.
Yeah.
That is the instant way of like, not getting
caught. How are you so this dumb? How are you this dumb?
And a big tip does not mean that they owe you anything.
Talk to. Nope, no, it doesn't.
Of course it doesn't.
So, and here's the other pro tip. As all of us have worked in the restaurant industry at one point in time, the bartenders and servers and waitresses, none of them are interested in you. They're all already hooking up with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part.
It's so incestuous. There's so many like relationships happening inside bars. What's up with that?
Well, it's servers,
you
too.
You get off.
Yeah.
You get off work.
Yeah. Everyone gets off the work. They have a pocket full of money, and you're normally half drunk when you get off. And you're well, what are you doing?
That's how you sleep with a bartender. Bar-hop. You get a job there. That's all you got to do.
From the inside. True. Take it down from the inside.
Ian, have you ever successfully gone into a bar and had the bartender hit you up after they got off work?
Yes. Yeah. I've had that happen 3 times, actually.
Mm-hmm. The only way that...
What was his name?
Roger. But then Amanda, I miss you. I love you, baby.
I would say the only way that
Roger
works
and
is
Amanda.
If you are a bartender at another place and you go to their place or they go to your place and it's kind of like drink swap.
It's a mutual barcode.
Yeah, drink swapping. Because I've dated like hostesses back in the day.
Swap anything else?
Blooming onions and for your cheese fries.
Well, come on. It's the first date.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Camping is such a white people thing to do. Like, okay, there's nothing wrong with, like, learning survival skills if, like, the world is, like, over. But camping, just in general, like, oh, yes, let's go and pretend to be homeless for a weekend. Because that's cool. I don't get it at all.
Message deleted.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually heard Carlos Mencia do a bit that was kind of like that one time. He's like, you don't see any Mexican people going camping. He's like, because we actually had to, like, go cross through areas and like our ancestors, whether it was us or not, had to like forage and like walk through the wilderness in order to find a better land. He's like, white people are just like, let's pretend like we're poor for a weekend and don't have somewhere to live.
Oh God, never. I like you could not
camping
pay
really. I see camping.
No, man.
Especially like with kids, like having a little bonfire. Like,
give me a cabin.
Sure. Sure.
Also,
that's still
camping.
That's still camping.
No, it
sure
is not.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's how you know you have too much money.
It's when not too much money.
You're
no.
Renting a cabin
no,
is camping.
If I'm in the woods, it's camping.
Okay.
That's
if there's one tree in a field.
It's a large tree and there's a campfire, it's camping.
Not even a campfire, yes. if it's gas.
So, well, sure. Yeah. But it's a rusted propane.
A log starter.
Yeah, it's a.
It's that I bought at Walmart and brought with me in the back of my car.
I buy like 40 of those logs that burn forever.
I've done that.
Of course you have. We all have. Just get one log that burns forever, and I don't have to go forage for a bunch of shrubbery.
Some twigs.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Look, I have to admit for myself that I just got a terrible tattoo. For real, like I just went to the shop on a whim because I wanted to get it. I wanted a panther up on my right arm. And he finished with it and asked me to look at it in the mirror, and it just looks like a black blob. I didn't have the guts to tell him because I'm like a nice guy. But I really didn't like it, and now I'm stuck with it.
Message deleted.
Yeah, see, now that's
be a nice guy about a tattoo that's on your body forever.
That's different. Like if somebody overcooks my steak, like I had that same thing with the guilt where I don't want to like tell them because I don't want to inconvenience them and you know the mess up the whole meal for everyone at the table. I'll do it sometimes, but most of the time I'm just kind of like I'll deal with it. If it's a tattoo that's going on your body forever on your arm, like. Hey, bro, like that looks awful. Stop.
Restart. But
yeah.
Which, and usually they just like, you see the work before it goes on your body. So you had to actually see it, say okay, have them put the stencil on your body, and then still say okay.
Yeah, you're
go through the entire process.
That's
you're an idiot.
You.
But even then, like, do you go to the same guy who's already messing up? Like, this is the things, like, there's a few things in life that you should never cheap out on. One, a bed. Get a comfortable bed. It will change your life. Number two, don't go to the discount tattoo shop.
No, never.
There's a reason why it's a discount tattoo shop, unless you like prison tattoos.
Well, and loyalty, though, is important whenever you're going to tattoo artists, because usually down the line, if you keep going to them, they'll give you discounts, but you don't start off cheap.
I don't think I want the discount.
No, I want the guy
who... If you become friends with them, usually they'll do that for you.
I don't even know if I want to be friends. It's kind of like when you go to like get your hair cut.
Don't
can we
you
just
start
not?
Your
can we just
judge.
Not talk?
Sure, but
can we just?
No, you're there for 5 hours.
I know.
Sometimes.
Put on a movie. Leave me alone.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, all right then. All I wanna do is drink beer for breakfast. We found ourselves here on a Friday once again. All I wanna eat is a
Come on, come on.
Open up them beers, people.
She's trying not to crack a nail.
No, it wasn't.
Did you get your, just get your nails done?
Yeah.
Yeah, they look nice.
Me too, me too. Got my gels on.
Mm-hmm. Yours.
Feeling very pretty.
Even better.
Ready for the weekend.
Yes.
Gonna go out on the town and chop it up. Gonna be a good time.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna stay at home
the entire weekend
and do nothing. Yes. Maybe play some video games. And maybe drink some more of this beer. The day today's beer that we are drinking is the Stone Brewing Company's Woot Stout. And Stone Brewing Company is a well-known. I mean, these guys were kind of the second wave of craft beer. I mean, you had
Stone,
like,
Stone is iconic in the craft beer space.
It
you know what's funny is that I didn't even know this was a Stone until you just said that, because the can looks so much different from what their normal product looks like.
It looks like
and
a comic book.
Yeah.
And normally you see the gargoyles on there, and it's very iconic, very classy, very simple, clean lines in their bottles and cans. This one's a little bit different. This is a one-off from them. They release this usually once a year, and they collaborate with Will Wheaton from, as you know, Star Trek The Next Generation fame, who is phenomenal, and Drew Curtis from FARC. They partner with the co-founder of FARC. They partner with the co-founder of Stone, Greg Cook, and they have produced one of my favorite beers from Stone, and they have a lot. But Stone really does make some good stuff, and I'm glad that they're like nationwide now.
Mm-hmm,
and they're over in Europe. I mean, they're like worldwide now. Stone, like I said, really led that like second generation of craft beer and brought us into where we are right now. They, you know, they
good guys too.
Absolutely, they are. The Stone Woot Stout has 11.5% alcohol by volume and 45 W-0-0-T.
I know, but 11.5, that's something.
Yeah, 11.5% alcohol by volume, 45 IBUs. Today being served from an incredibly intricate and colorful can that came in a six-pack. I believe this was priced around $12.99. Serve this out of a pint glass, and I like this a little bit warmer, around 50 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit.
11%, and you can buy a six-pack.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of people are like, well, here's like a four- and let's upcharge
and
put it in a fancier can.
Full-on six-pack.
I'm here for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, drinking one of these is like drinking four light beers, almost. You know, I mean, this is a hell of a beer. The five categories in which we rate every single beer on Beer for Breakfast: look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. The look of the Stone Woot Stout pours a deep black, much like my heart, but it does have hints of mahogany around the edges when held to a direct light source. An ample amount of dark brown head sits atop the stout, much like a king who wears his crown.
Oh, God, you're so dry.
Heavy is the head who wears the crown. I know that so much. There isn't much carbonation in that, but it's stout, so that's what?
I think it's heavy lays the crown. Whatever. I don't think the head was heavy.
I got a heavy head, man.
It's a big-ass head.
I got a big-ass noggin. Let's move on to the next category, which is the smell of the Stone Woot Stout.
I mean, you definitely get some of the alcohol in there. It's
really?
Not. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of this mixture between sweet and alcohol, though.
Yeah.
Like, it smells almost like an oak aged scotch or something like that. You know, where you get definitely some of the alcohol in there, but you get a lot of oats too. You know, am I the only one since smelling the oats?
I think you may be thinking rye.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, this is. I think you may be thinking there, but it does have that like
grainy
kind of feel in there.
Yeah.
And this is a quarter of this batch was aged in bourbon barrels, so there is that bourbon.
Sure.
But I don't think it's like some of the bourbon aged barrels that we've had, or bourbon aged stouts that we've had in the past. I feel like are a much bigger nose. I feel like this one's a little bit more rounded out with, like, you got chocolate in there, you some cocoa beans, a little bit of vanilla, and that bourbon in there. Overall, that sweetness is lingering as well. I would say this is a pretty inviting nose on a beer. You look at it and it looks intimidating. You smell it does not smell intimidating, because it's not a punch of bourbon straight to the face. Let's move on to our favorite part of Beer for Breakfast, which is the taste, my friends. Let's all take a big drink of the Stone Brewing Woot Stout.
Oh my.
It's got straight foam.
Ian, we'll start with you. What are you tasting over there, and do you like it?
I really enjoy this stout.
Whew.
And I am not a big stout drinker, and it's the sweetness
that
I really love. I'm not getting much alcohol. I don't know about you guys.
What are you talking about?
I'm not really tasting it.
It's all alcohol.
I'm tasting sweetness.
Alcohol. Yeah.
I'm tasting sweetness.
With you.
If anything,
sweet
maybe
alcohol.
Like a little bit of a sour note to it. But yes. I really like this.
Sour, bitter, and alcohol is what I'm getting. It's not bad.
What?
It's just... Yeah, I mean,
what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
All the above.
Yeah, like it's
crazy.
Like, sour.
It makes my tongue like
on the back. It's like bitter. It's just like a bitter. It's like the, you know, like that dark chocolate bite.
Yes, there is the dark chocolate in there, but like that is a, I think that's a bold statement, my friend. It's interesting because
this is what my mouth tastes.
No, but it's interesting that you and Audrey both are tasting that, and Ian and I are on kind of another parallel.
Get on our level, guys.
And are kind of on that richer, there is that chocolatey, but that it's the cooking, baking chocolate, so you have that bitterness. But I don't think that bitterness is overwhelming. I feel like it's balanced out by the malt.
Maybe
right there.
Maybe sour is the wrong one. Maybe more like tart. Like tart, you know?
Take another drink. You two, take another drink.
Lord
take you know, I think that there's that sweetness that does permeate through there. There is the bourbon, but it's not overwhelming. For me, for 11.5% alcohol by volume, I'm getting damn near no alcohol.
What are you talking
every
about?
Time
I feel like I'm breathing the alcohol right now.
I agree. And I like these. You know I love these.
Did you guys
I love
slip
the
a
bourbons.
Shot into
no.
yours?
Yeah, what's going on?
It tastes like somebody put a shot in this. It really does. I mean, it's that maybe it's that strong, but...
Interesting.
I mean, I'm getting a lot of alcohol. I don't dislike it because, as you know, I like alcohol.
Yes.
But,
we like the alcohol day.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing necessarily. I'm just getting a big presence of booze.
Huh. Yeah. Like, for me,
you're not getting it at all.
Not
huh?
at all. Like, I feel like this goes down really smooth.
Let me take another sip. Maybe the alcohol will dissipate.
Let's investigate. Let's investigate the stone.
Good thinking. Here we go.
Let's down some more. Let's take another drink.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
I feel like I feel like I get a warming sensation in the finish. You know, and I feel like there's a little bit of alcohol on there, but I'm not getting, like I said, if I would have done this blind, I would have said six. I would have said six, five.
Really? No, so. I'm definitely getting it.
I would have said 9.5 if I'd done this blind.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Your thoughts. Do you like this or is this one? Because you're Dave's usually more of an IPA drinker, but you do like this or you don't?
No, I do. It's just, I mean, you and
you
I
feel
are
like
tasting.
This is a big beer?
Like, this is a lot. Like, I feel like I could have two of these and then I'd be like, pretty toasty.
I agree that, like, I feel like this is richer than some of the other beers. Like, it's thicker. Yeah. Like, and I think we get to that in the drinkability, or excuse me, in the mouthfeel. I feel like this has almost got the same consistency as, like, chocolate milk, almost. This is a, like, when a lot of people, like, complain about dark beers and how they're, like, motor oily and they're just too thick. This is a,
this would fill you up.
This is a thick beer. This is like chocolate milk, but I feel like there's very little carbonation, but I feel like overall this is a pretty smooth beverage.
I really like that it's always like in the bourbon barrels, like, you know, the stouts and the breakfast stouts and all of the above. They're like some of my favorite beers. Mm-hmm. This one for me is really getting a lot of that, like, overwhelming. It's not even bourbon flavors, but it's just like that alcohol that's like that lingering. Uh-huh. Whenever I'm smelling it, though, that's not hitting me. It's like whenever I'm drinking it. Hmm. But I enjoy it. Sometimes I want to be able to taste that I'm drinking. Does that make sense?
No.
Like sometimes I want it to work.
You want
it tastes like it was working.
You want it to hurt sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to hurt
you. Put some stank on it.
Yeah. I want this beer to slap me around a little bit.
Yeah. This stone is going to stone me down.
No, wait. Wrong music. Sorry.
Honestly. Okay. One more of these and I'll start doing the cha-cha. I mean,
I feel like this is a good beer to pair with like a chicken fried steak. I'd love to drink this with like a chicken fried steak. But this is definitely, in my opinion, even though this usually comes out around the summertime.
Really?
This is more of a winter drinker for me, a cold weather drinker, because it does warm you up a little bit. What do you got? So, like I said, because
are you just mind blown right now that
we are usually never this far off on a beer? Yeah. But what would you guys rate this beer? I'm curious to see if you have it similar to what I have.
The favorite one that you've had. Out of is it five? Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I mean, five is the absolute perfect beer we've never had.
Nothing gets a five.
The KBS that you had on here, or even that the wine barrel
from Parabola.
Oh,
the Parabola Napa.
Those both are like top tier for me.
Yes, those are the two best.
They're kind. I mean, similar but not.
Yep.
That's my five.
Uh huh.
This might be a 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd give this like a 3.4, 3.5.
Okay, Ian, your thoughts?
I would give this, on the Ian beer scale level of supremacy, I would give this probably a 4.4. I would give it a solid 4.
Okay.
Wow.
I really enjoy it.
I agree with Audrey. This is not the best stout out on the market, but this is a damn good one. I would give this a 4.2.
A 4.2.
You know, I feel like this is...
Well, should I mean, should I...
We need to compare because
wait, a 4.2 or a 4.2? T-O-O.
A 4 as well or a 4.2?
Yeah. What's the difference?
Well, one's a 4 and one's
one
a 4.2. One's
1.2.
One's a number and one means also.
Yeah.
Or a lot of things.
Huh. How about that?
Listen for reviews of your new favorite brews.
Cheers!
Beer for breakfast every Friday morning at 9:30 with Dave and Mahoney.
It's time for another show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
There's something that I love more than anything is if I have to go on a business trip or something, mm-hmm. I'll treat myself sometimes to a new pack of So every time that I go over my suitcase, I'm like, bam!
You treat yourself to a new pack of those, huh?
Uh-huh, yeah. Audrey does the same thing.
I do.
Well, you got something in common.
When you travel, uh-huh.
Oh,
you gotta
yeah.
have them.
I mean, even when you're not traveling. It's gotten to the point
it
where...
It feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, it feels great every
you
time.
You don't know
every
where the life is going to take you when you're
the
out
new.
Traveling.
The
yeah.
new, yeah, just sliding right in.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. What is that? 702-791-1075. First person with the correct answer gets tickets to go see Incubus. They are coming to town. I mean, just every piece of it is just warm. Just and just
it's like heaven.
It holds so tight.
You've died. You know. Oh, God. It's so good.
First person with the correct
Even
answer.
Even better
tickets.
With two.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is better
oh,
with
yeah,
two.
Yeah.
Fuzzy.
Every single day. It's just.
Depends on the time
be.
Of year.
Yeah.
this is. Hope your kids are at school.
What is that?
Why are we 12?
I don't know. X1075, good morning. What's your name?
My name's Kyle.
Kyle, what's the correct answer?
Socks.
Socks is correct. Yes.
I hope he said socks. First part was. Yeah.
Your phone cut out. Yeah. It just sounded like ox.
Yeah.
Bleep
like
BS.
Babe the Blue Ox.
All of a sudden, you don't want dirty socks. You want fresh, clean socks, please. Mm-hmm. All right. Congratulations to you, man. Incubus, again, coming to Las Vegas. They're going to be over at the Pearl inside the Palms. May 22nd, May 23rd, you're going to that show for free. Tickets are actually on sale today, but you're going to that show without having to buy the tickets. So congrats, man. Thanks for hanging with us. And have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
You guys, too. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, man. All right, that's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend. Mahoney, try to chill out on that beer. I think you're on your third one there.
Oh, well, and, I'm doing a Beer for Breakfast podcast in about an hour. So.
Oh, what a treat.
Our friends from Big Dog stopping by. So, yeah. So
what could go wrong?
See you on Monday.
Oops, maybe.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. By the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.